I direct your attention now to the Word of God. We are looking at a series of the first word of Christmas. Of course, the first word is Christ Himself, and we've been looking at passages over the last few weeks in our Advent series that speak of Christ and the Word and His coming in the flesh. And we have as our text the prologue of John's Gospel, and let me read a good portion of that now, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about that light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And then notice in chapter 3, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The primary imagery that is used by John in his gospel in this prologue is the light. And John, if you'll look carefully at his first chapter, follows kind of a creation order. That is, there is the first day, coming of light. And then John says periodically through that first chapter, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And then finally to begin chapter 2, he says, and on the third day. Well, if you add all of that up, that's 7 days. And that is reminiscent of the very first chapter of Genesis, where we have the days delineated and the things that happen on those days. And it is no coincidence that John begins in the beginning, just like Moses does the very first verse of the first chapter of Genesis, in the beginning. And it's significant because what's being spoken of here is light. The light comes into the darkness. Hear the words of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the earth. Formless, void, an abyss, a negation, a nothingness, a foreboding picture of the Spirit of God hovering over the darkness. And then, verse 3, and God said, that is, God pronounced a word, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was evening and morning the first day. Remarkable. God speaking into the darkness. If I stop preaching right now, I want that to be your memory. God puts a word into the darkness. And that's what the coming of Christ is all about. He is the Word of God, the wisdom of God. We saw a couple of weeks ago Christ pre-existent and Christ preeminent and Christ in His peacemaking role. Christ, the Word, was the active agent at this creation moment. God speaking a word into the darkness is what God did in the primeval creation. And it is what God did in redemption. He put a word in the darkness, and that word is Christ. And the darkness is the darkness of humanity's soul. The remarkable thing is, of course, that the sun and the moon, the bearers of light, were not created till the fourth day. So it was not the sun and the moon that are the primary light of Genesis, but it is Christ who said, as we'll see in a moment, Himself, "I am the light of the world," which was true on creation morning. God spoke a word into the darkness, and that word is Christ, and He became the light of the world before there was sun, before there were stars and moon. And the same is true in redemption. God speaks a word. The Bible says that God has spoken to us by one who is a son. God speaks the word. The word is Christ. And He comes into the darkness. Our text tells us that the word, Christ, came unto His own. The construction of the language in the Greek is neuter in the sense that it doesn't speak specifically. Our translation supplies for us in the second phrase the word people. He was in the world. The world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own. And that's really all the Greek text says. And His own did not receive Him. Our translators supply the word people because most interpreters believe that's what is there. In other words, Christ comes to His own. What is His own? Well, in the neuter, it's His own property. It's His own domain. It's His creation. Here, the Creator, the one who created the earth and all existence in the first place, time and space, heavens and earth, comes to His own creation, enters into the world of time, enters into the world of place, enters into the world of molecules and motion, enters into that very creation. That is a coming into His own and unto His own property, His own creation, that which is of His own making. And He comes in order to save it. Because of the failure and the fall of Adam, it needed to be recreated. It needed to be redeemed, restored. And that's exactly what He's doing. The Bible says that He came into His own. And the second phrase, our translators have supplied people because that is what the burden seems to be. He came to His own people. He came to His own people in that they were His. Jesus was the son of Adam, a descendant of Adam. So Jesus comes into His own. He comes into humanity. He comes into that race of creatures that had been made originally in His image to restore that image. But also, his own can be even more specific than that. Jesus was a descendant not just of Adam, making Jesus human, of course, but he was the descendant of Abraham, making Jesus a child of Abraham. Born of woman, born under the law, says Paul. Someone who is specifically called and qualified. He was the seed about which God spoke when he talked to Abraham originally. And when God spoke to Abraham about the seed, he was talking to Abraham about Christ. In other words, God was preaching Christ to Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. No different than you and me. We believe God when he speaks of Christ, and it's counted to us for righteousness. We are reckoned righteous, imputed and accounted and deemed to be righteous. So Christ comes to his own. He comes through the Father of the faithful. He comes to his very own people, the Hebrew people that had descended. He comes to his own in creation. He comes into his own in redemption. In each case, God works a marvelous illumination into darkness. In creation, there was darkness. And in salvation, there is darkness. One of the saddest stories that we can ever tell, and the hardest story to believe, in fact, many people do not believe, and that is the story of just how dark the darkness is for us as human beings. It's true that historically Jesus comes into a period of darkness. Hebrew prophecy, which was the sole voice of God on earth during those centuries before Christ, had been silent for 400 years. There had been no prophet in Israel. The voice of God had gone silent with Malachi and was not renewed for hundreds of years. The empty and bankrupt spiritual philosophies of the Greeks had been dominant for 250 years over the earth. The tyranny of Rome had ruled over the earth for almost a century when Christ was born. The layered hypocrisy of God's own people had crusted over with a self-righteousness, and Second Temple Judaism was filled with all kinds of misconceptions concerning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The law had been perverted, and substituted had been the traditions of men. There was darkness over all of humanity. So much of the world was still in idolatry. So much of the world was in animism and totemism. The planet was an absolute, without form, void, dark with respect to the knowledge of God. There was a darkness over the planet. Men and women living their lives with no understanding of the Lord God Almighty, the transcendent, high and lifted up, the Creator God, the loving God, the sovereign God. But instead, they had turned to worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. There was a willful blindness on the part of people. And darkness in Scripture is an imagery that often speaks of blindness, ignorance, evil, even death is considered the darkness. It is really a spiritual abyss, a spiritual prison house without one flicker of light, not one lumen, not one photon of spiritual light. That's not only the condition of the population at large, but it is the condition of each human heart. As bad as it is to recount, and difficult as it is to admit, our souls do nothing but radiate blackness, darkness, nothing there, nothing good. There's a lostness. The Bible refers sometimes to darkness as the place where people lose their way. And it was into this spiritual darkness comes the light of the world. Comes Christ, a baby in a manger, coming into that human existence, coming into his own humanity, Abraham's children, coming to his own people, coming to his own nation, coming to his own. And sadly, the Bible says his own did not receive him. He enters into the darkness all the way to the ultimate end and the consequence of the darkness. He enters into it all the way to death and the grave and hell. He comes that far down for us. In our confession, we spoke of the humiliation of Christ. And it takes him all the way to the grave, the pit, the abyss, the abode of darkness, in order that he might spring forth by the power of the risen Lord to become the resurrection and the life. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He had come that men and women no longer walk in darkness. He said he's the light that lights every person without distinction. All are lighted by the... If anyone is lighted at all, they are lighted by the countenance of Christ. There is no light in other religions of the world. I don't care what they say. There's a little bit of wisdom here and there. There's a little bit to admire here and there. There's some spirituality all around. But there's no Christ. There's no light. There's no salvation. And ultimately, there's no life. For he is the light of the world and the light of life. Listen to the very words of Jesus himself when he speaks to his people. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hear what the apostle says in Ephesians 5. For at one time, this is Paul speaking to the church, for at one time you, plural, you all, were darkness. He doesn't say in darkness or affected by darkness. He said you were darkness, your own soul. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of life is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, and then Paul quotes Isaiah 51, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, come alive, hear the voice in your darkness as Lazarus in the darkness of the tomb heard the voice of Christ when he said, Lazarus, come forth. No wonder in Matthew's gospel, when he wants to show and tell us something about the coming of Christ, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry, which Jesus, of course, grew up in Nazareth, Jesus changed his residence. He moved over to Capernaum. And there, that was the ancient land of Naphtali and Zebulun, two of the sons of Jacob. And when Jesus, leaving Nazareth, his home, and relocating his headquarters in the beginning of his greater Galilean ministry to the town of Capernaum, here's what Matthew says about that move. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. When Jesus comes to your town, he brings light, for he is light. When Jesus comes to your soul, he brings light. Arise, O sleeper. Receive him. Trust him. Believe in him. Embrace him. Enjoy him. Follow him. Serve him. Obey him. And enjoy from him life and life eternal.